This evening, we're looking at that part of that reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Jemima asked me earlier what was the title for the service. Was it deliberate from going on from what Nathan spoke about this morning in Are We Match Fit? And you know how God works in those kind of incidences behind the scenes? And sometimes things just so happen. Coincidentally, or God incidentally, things fit in. But in this situation, no. I heard what the title was going to be in the morning, and it just so happened that the contrast between being fit and focused is the title for this evening. Focus. That's something that we're going to touch on, and is the language of focus and vision is in that reading in 2 Corinthians. But before we come to that, I thought it would be really, really helpful that actually the theme of Are We Fit is a great springboard and a projection into Are We Focused, or Do We Have Focus? Are we fit? Some of us fitter than others. I am not about to go and run a marathon like Richard Sills. And it was quite interestingly on the thought of being fit and match fit, and especially fit for God's kingdom, fit for service, fit for carrying out what our role and responsibility is as a Christian. It got me kind of thinking that fitness, actually, I've noticed, is quite a predominant theme lately, especially because of the past 18 months of lockdown. For a long time, gyms were shut. At one point, if you remember back to last year, we could only go outside for one walk a day, one little bit of exercise. So trying to maintain a level of fitness was quite challenging. And if you're anything like me, you maybe have put on a little bit of weight in that first lockdown. And then Christmas came and it's just not been a great time. I've been seeing adverts for fitness things. And have you come across Peloton? Peloton, the cycling thing, you can cycle in your living room, but with people all around the world. No, I'm not going to do that. No, it's coming from when I was at university, I was a very keen mountain biker. So any kind of substitution for coming down very fast in trails through the Scottish Highlands is no. So it's not a very good substitute for me personally. But keeping fit is nevertheless really important. So if you use those different things to keep fit, brilliant. What about our spiritual fitness? Now, I have to say that this morning I didn't actually hear Nathan's sermon, so I'm kind of trying to tease out what I think had been said. But our spiritual fitness, where are we? And I think it's very helpful as Christians to occasionally just ask ourselves, to review ourselves, to be purposeful in, you know, how are we doing spiritually? Are we spiritually fit? How are we feeling? And if you can have someone that you're maybe a family or a very close friend, you can kind of like say, you know, actually, spiritually, I'm not feeling very fit. I'm feeling maybe a little bit distant from God. My prayer life is maybe not as good as it should be. My Bible reading is maybe not as good as it should be. Or maybe it's, actually, I'm doing really well. You know, we're on however many days through the year, and I started my Bible reading in 1st of January at the start of the year, and I've been reading my Bible every day, and I've prayed every day, and maybe spiritually you're very, very fit. I think for many of us, though, there's probably an element where a lot of us are not feeling very spiritually fit. If we are, great, but I know for me personally, I know that we can always be fitter, we can always be better, we can do more, we can get to know God more. One Christian pastor, thankfully he's a Christian, it's good, in the States, he put it like this. He said, with Christ, there is always more to be had. So you can never know God enough. You can never have delved into God's word enough. You can never experience God enough, because it's a lifelong process. We are keep learning more and knowing God more. And with Christ, there is always more to be had. If you're bored as a Christian of God, well, you need to keep pushing towards God, because there's always more to be had. In this chapter here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a language that is being used here of focus. And the reason I say it's of focus is because a lot of it is something that you might hear if you go to an optician's. perhaps. Although usually I think that opticians only know about two words, one or two. But nevertheless, in this passage, are there any opticians in? Okay, good. So, in chapter 4, verse 2, we see, rather we renounce secret and shameful ways, we do not use deceptions, nor we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, again, that kind of veiling, shrouded, when the lights go out, if you're in the opticians, and they put a veil or a shroud or something over one eye, to those who are perishing, the God of the day has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel. Go forward to verse 6. For God who said, let light, again, that light, shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Go forward down to verse 11. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Again, that revealing. It's that kind of the shroud is being removed. And then if we go down further to verse 18, and this is the paramount verse in many ways of this chapter. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Focus. It's all about focus and sight. And there's a lot of the language there that could be attributed to, yes, to seeing. So the question, I've got a couple of questions this evening that I want to delve into and explore. So firstly, are we focused? Now, you might say, well, yes. Or actually, you might be this evening thinking, no, Jacob, I'm not following you. I can't focus. Maybe there's lots of things in your mind going on that you're struggling to focus. The measures of our focus, though, what are they? What are the measures? How do we measure our focus? How do we know whether we are focused or not? And especially in the terms of our spirituality, how do we know whether we're focused? I would say, largely, it is to do with what we give our time to. How much time do we allot to spiritual things? And I'm not saying spiritual things in terms of it has to be, Bible reading and prayer, because actually the gospel goes, that is the starting point, but actually the gospel transcends and goes and permeates through every area of life. So it looks like being purposeful about every single thing that you do. So whether you're eating food or you're walking down the street, you know that you can do that and you can do it to the glory of God. So what takes your time? What takes your thoughts? What takes your attention? Now, I have to clarify, and this is a little bit of a side note, but having attention and what is taking your time is not the same as having a short attention span. And I know that over the past 18 months, because a lot of young people have not been in school, attention spans have slowly been decreasing and getting shorter and shorter. And I think that for most people, to grab their attention, you need to do so within the first 20 seconds. It's very, very short space of time. How are you doing? But having a short attention span does not mean that you are not focused. And actually, there has been more and more of a awareness and a delving into that actually our minds, especially if our minds, and I'm talking about people more so with perhaps ADHD or those kind of mental differences. And I'm not going to say it's a disability or anything, because I don't think it is. But it's those differences that actually that kind of shifting and sporadic and complicated focus is not necessarily wrong. It's not necessarily a bad thing, because if your attention span is short, but within that short amount of time, you can bring in a huge amount of knowledge, it can be transformative, it can be changing, that is far better than listening to something, say, 2.5 hours long, and you don't get anything out of it. And I know that there's a cliche that is that I like to stick to, but I also think you have to take it with a pinch of salt, which is funny, because when I tell you about it, it's not salt at all. It's short and sweet. Short and sweet. And I like to have things that are short and sweet. And I don't mean that to be, blasé. I don't mean because, I don't want to spend time in God's word or spend time with other believers in fellowship, but rather that Sometimes it's the small instances and the moments in our lives that have the greatest impact. And I know personally for me, it's been, if I've had a 2-hour conversation with someone, for example, or I spent a day with somebody, it will be a moment that I will remember. Not the whole day necessarily, but a moment. So our attention spans, if our attention spans are short, and we know that actually increasingly they will be getting shorter, how can that be used to focus on Christ? I would say that through Scripture, and especially in the New Testament, the way that the Gospels are written are very, very quick. The focus shifts so quickly. And in the Gospels, they're in very different styles, but many of them, and especially in John, it's and then Jesus, and then they did this, and then we did this, and it's very, very quick. And if you mirror that in and you say, okay, well, that sometimes can be like our own attention spans, you realize that actually there's something good there. And I know that when we are undertaking, we've got a long list of things to do, or even it's a mental list, we've got lots of things to do, and lots of things that demand our focus and our attention. If we struggle to get every single thing done, or we only manage to do a little bit of this, and a little bit of this, a little bit of this, we can feel really disheartened, because our focus has been moved all over the place. But perhaps maybe we need to have a shift in the attitude of our focus, that actually, even if I do a little bit here, and I get this done, and I do a little bit here, and I get this done, if I've managed to pray at the start of a meal here, and I've managed to read something over here, and I've been thinking about it as I've done this job, maybe that is better than just nothing at all. Maybe it's better than spending, many hours on something. A friend of mine said, and I don't know if she penned it, but she said, poor sight, great vision. And she's speaking, she has an illness where her sight is not good, but she's an artist. So a little bit like, there's a lot of artists over the years that have been blind and yet have somehow managed to create amazing artwork. Poor sight, great vision. I wonder if that is possibly the mantra for us, that even in our circumstances on the small scale, if we don't understand what's going on in them, but we have an understanding of the vision that Jesus has for us, the bigger picture, that our focus might not be on the very small and the detailed and one small thing, but actually it's a vision, then maybe we're doing better than we think. Are we focused? I hope that first point, more than anything, encourages you. That even if you're not doing well in everything, if you're doing well in something and God is getting the glory in a particular area of your life, then focus in on it and let that grow. Let that carry on to other things. Who is our focus? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Quite a well-known verse. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, and perfecter of our faith. Jesus should be and is our focus. He is our focus. Listening and obeying what he has commanded us is the vision that he has for us. When we looked at on last Sunday night, and it was the mission, and God's commission to us is to share the gospel. And it is Jesus' vision for us. Now, the workings out of that, and I want to focus on a little area of that, and it's in John chapter 15 and verse 12. And Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. See, when we look at Christ more and we understand more of Jesus and who he is and what he does, if we spend more time on the accounts in the Gospels and we allow that to transform us, we are then able to love others better. And that's the change. That's the change that happens. So kindness, compassion, is the result when we look at Jesus. When our focus is Jesus, and then that goes through every area of our life, that's what it looks like. It's total change. Later on in that passage where John, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples in John 15, he says, I no longer call you my servants, but I call you my friends. Let's just turn there, because I think it's a good passage to look at. John chapter 15. We looked at it this morning in the way, and I originally wasn't going to use it, but then it just works so well to in what our focus is. Because actually, even though, and it's in some ways, you could say, well, Jesus, he makes a little bit of an odd comparison, because in John 15, Jesus says to his disciples in verse, I'll find it for you. If we go from verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Very important verse as we come up to remembrance. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And that's amazing, because actually there's a really amazing contrast that Jesus brings in there, because we still know that part of the Christian life is service, that we serve one another, and we're called to do that. But Jesus here is bringing in another element. You could say, well, is that contradictory? But it's not. Because actually what Jesus is saying, that your role doesn't necessarily change, but the authority and the knowledge and the information that is shared, the benefits, the perks, as it were, are ours, because Christ calls us friends. So when our focus is on Jesus and we put him first and we look towards him and we are trying to follow, trying to imitate, as the video said earlier, you know, we're no longer looking at an image of God, but rather we have an experience of God himself. We don't have a photograph, we have an experience. And it's that, see, and I don't know if you've been this person, and I'm aware that some people in this room may be these people, but when you go on holiday and you take lots of photos, and it might be, you know, one of you, you know, your foot and a sandal on a beach. And I'll be honest, nobody really wants to see that. You know, the trying to carry across the feeling that we had when we were on holiday, and we try and capture it in photos. I mean, I think, well, if we're all honest, it doesn't do it justice, does it? Photos never really do it justice. And I remember when I first was aware that from the north parts of Scotland you could see the northern lights at certain times in the year, I was like, wow, this is going to be really cool. Because I've seen these photos, you know, these great, you know, swirling green, bluey, pinky, reddy lights in the sky. And I was like, okay, so we went to the top of this hill and I said, look, it's the northern lights. And this very vague, slight hue of green was in the sky, and yeah, there's a bit of movement there. It's like, yeah, it's the northern lights. Okay, but that didn't really look anything like the photo. And I was just made an awareness that actually sometimes the photos can be deceptive. But nevertheless, the fact that I had seen the northern lights and I had to adjust my perspective a little bit, it was still an amazing to encounter. We are not looking at God through a lens. We can focus on God because he is drawn near to us. We don't have to approach him through anything else than Jesus Christ, his son. And so that is why Jesus is our focus. Why? Why should we be focused? Firstly, it's for our benefit. You see, when more people come to know Jesus, it creates a bigger community of people that are also equally changed by God's grace. So actually, it's a good thing. So when we tell others about Jesus, it's a good thing. And I've over the past course of this week, I've heard testimonies of people. And last Sunday, Nathan had pitched it to us. You know, said, this week, tell somebody that Jesus loves them and he has a great plan for their life. And I've heard testimonies this week of people that have done that and have had, and even just spoken to someone about Jesus and have opportunities to meet with them. See, when people come to know Jesus, this community grows. We have more friends. More than that, we have family. Because when people come into faith in Jesus, they become our family, they become our brothers and sisters. So really, when our focus is Jesus and that focus on him is something that we want to share with others, it's a good thing and it is for our benefit. It gives us purpose so that, and in verse 16, you did not choose me. Sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter again. It's 2 Corinthians 4 again. And in verse 16, Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. So it's for us, you know, it gives us purpose so that we don't lose heart, we don't become despondent. We don't become down, that actually, you know, when we focus on Christ, you know, that there is nothing bad or ill that comes from Jesus. Life does that enough to us. That's why it's so important that we focus on Jesus. Verse 18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And that gives us a realization that our focus and our vision is of eternal value. It's more than just the day-to-day. It's more than just the experience and the kind of going through life. That actually what we focus on now has implications that is far beyond our current circumstances and understanding of time and where we are, our location, everything. It's huge. And thirdly, and finally, and it really is, again, that hearkening back to what Jesus says to his disciples in John 15, verses 14 and 50. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. And that is the amazing truth that is ours when we have faith and have trusted in Jesus, that it's not something that's to be grasped anymore. We're friends. It's who we are. It's promised. It's confirmed. It's done. It's because we are friends of Christ that we can focus on him. You're here this evening. And I don't know what kind of week you've had. I don't know what kind of experiences you've had. I don't even know, you know, I've only been here since August. My kind of understanding and knowledge of you, for most of you, doesn't go any further back than that. And yet, I know that you are my friends and you are my family in Christ. See, what a great blessing it is that actually when we focus on Jesus, we are called friends of God. Amazing. May that be an encouragement to you that actually this week, whatever you're going through, you are a friend of God. Amen.